Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemeny Parish Church. A warm welcome to all who are here and present with us in the sanctuary, all who are here with us online, especially our friends at Littlewood Courts, and all who are watching on our catch-up service during the week. Welcome to worship, everyone. That too. Just a few intimations to share at the start of our time. A reminder that this Tuesday we'll have our next prayer meeting downstairs at the church center at 10 o'clock in the morning. And this is meant to be a time of open, contemplative, extemporaneous prayer. And it's meant to be time for intercession, for praying for each other, for the church, whatever's on our hearts and minds. So this is downstairs at the church center on Tuesday mornings at 10 a.m., and all are most welcome. This Tuesday, the 13th of August, is the next meeting of the Kirk session at 7:30 p.m. at the church center. So if you are an elder, please do mark your diaries for that meeting on Tuesday. The following Tuesday, 20th of August, at 7 p.m., will be the next meeting of our men's group over at the church center, and our speaker will be Mr. David Hendricks, known to us all as our illustrious parish assistant. And so come along and hear his story so far. He's a whopping 21 years old, but has already fit quite a bit into his life. He turns 22 in October, so get ready to embarrass him in the autumn, okay? And please speak with Leslie McKay to book your place for the men's group. Regarding the jumble sale, which is in print in the bulletins, we've been asked to announce that we'd be grateful for any volunteers who can give some of their time to help with that event. And just so we're clear, the jumble sale happening at the end of this month, it's similar in format to what we've done with Christian aid sales before, so we know what we might be volunteering for. But if you are available to give of any of your time to support this very worthwhile event, please make contact with Annie at the number listed in the intimation. As we know, for this month, for the months of summertime, we've had Howe Trinity Parish Church as our prayer-focused congregation for Presbytery, and we continue to pray for the members, for the elders, and for the minister, our friend John Cook, as they grow together as disciples of Jesus Christ, knowing him as their Savior, Lord, and friend. And so it's so crucial that we hold each other in this congregation together in prayer, but also in the wider area of the church as well, we support each other as brothers and sisters. And also, just an FYI intimation, we mentioned David a minute ago for the men's group. If you don't see David today, that's okay. David is out preaching at Kushni and Tuch today, and so we prayerfully hold him in, well, in our prayers, prayerfully in our prayers, as he leads worship with those fine folk. I think they're worshiping in Tuch Parish Church today. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family at the start of our time? With those shared then, let us enter into worship together with singing our first song of praise, which is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And during the singing of this song of praise, our offering for God's continued work here in Kemeny and beyond will be uplifted.
Of mercy, sing, all for songs of love. Let's all pray together in our prayers of thanksgiving. Dear Father and Lord, we thank you that we are here today to worship you, that we have the freedom within our country to do so, the freedom within our families to do so, and the safety from oppressors to do so. We seek your blessing on those who do not have this safety or this freedom. Let us not take it for granted, Lord. We thank you that over the school holidays, many of us have had time to spend with family or friends in relaxation. We remember that whilst many families will have enjoyed the time together, many families will have struggled with childcare or other pressures. Help us to see where we might support someone and give us the courage to speak up. We thank you for the many people who do support others, giving of their time. May they always know they are valued. Lord, we thank you for all your gifts to us, the beauty of the world you made, the bounty of your earth and the seas. Help us to see the need to cherish and care for your creation in whatever way we can. Lord, we thank you for the gifts you have filled us with. Help us to recognize them and to use them to enrich our own lives, the lives of others, and to help your world, all as you intended. We thank you that we have money enough for our own use and to gift back to you for the work of your church. We pray that our offerings will be used wisely and well. Despite all our richness of blessings, we know we often get things wrong, saying and doing things we ought not to have done, or leaving unsaid or undone something we should have. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to do better. We are assured of your forgiveness because you have promised it to those who are truly sorry, and for this we are always grateful. We'll join our voices now, Lord, in the prayer taught us by your Son, Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Rita. We continue in worship now with singing our next hymn, He is Lord.
He is Lord, every knee shall bow, every
When David first started with us, I assured him that I would never ask him to do anything that I would not do myself. We have one wee one here today, but with your permission, Chris, we'll make this an all ages talk today. So we must lead by example. What? And Annabelle as well. Sorry, Annabelle, I didn't see you. You're so cute and tiny, I didn't see you. We'll still make an all ages talk. So I have a question. Raise your hand, anybody, if you've ever felt nervous or worried, please. Thank you very much. Yes, indeed. Now, can I make a confession to all of you? That I used to get so nervous and so scared talking in front of people. Do you believe me? Yes, indeed. I'll tell you a couple stories, if I may. When I was in academy, I loved to be in music ensembles. But what do you have to do to be able to join a music ensemble, whether vocal or instrumental? What do you have to do at the start? You have to audition, right? You have to try out to see if you're talented enough to make it. And let me tell you, I was so nervous before my audition. And I was upstairs practicing. It was for a vocal group, and I was upstairs practicing the whole time, and I was getting more and more nervous, anxious, and scared. And finally, I just stopped and said, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. And my heart rate went from here down to about here. I felt so calm and absolutely did a superb job at the audition. Glory to God, not to me, of course. But I had help. I felt God's presence with me in that audition. And I was calmer then than I ever felt in any of the rehearsals or the practicing or whatnot. Something amazing happened. And I couldn't understand it, but it worked out so well. Fast forward a few years, and I'm in front of my American presbytery looking for their permission to pursue a calling in ministry in front of a whole gaggle of people, about this number of folk in presbytery, mostly ministers and elders. And I'm on the floor of presbytery, and they get to ask me any question they want. Now, do you think I was nervous again? Yes, absolutely. Who wouldn't be? But then before I went out again, I prayed the same prayer. Lord, I need your help. And again, this peace that I couldn't understand filled my heart. And I must have done a reasonably okay job because they let me carry forward, mercifully. Fast forward a few years again. And who here's ever had a job interview before? Yeah? You ever get nervous for a job interview? Isn't it normal? Well, I had a job interview about 5 years ago at this lovely wee village called Kemnay. And I remember it was a surreal experience getting ready for the service through there. And again, it was, you know, it was like, oh my goodness, what are we doing here? And all these things. And then, guess what? Heather prayed. She said, Lord, we need your help. And again, this peace I could not understand filled my heart. And for some reason, you still called me as your minister. So there we go. So time and time again, when I've faced times when I'm scared or anxious or worried, when things feel outside of my control, taking time to pray and asking God for help, it sounds simple, but it's so true and so real and so powerful in our lives as Christians. And today we're looking at a passage from Philippians where Paul talks about this peace that surpasses understanding, this peace that is not ours to control, but God can freely give it for anything that we face. We need only to take the time to pray, to admit to God that we need his help. Friends, we as Christians are not meant to do this life on our own. We are meant to need God's help. So when life is hard, life is challenging, life feels overwhelming, these are all signs that we need to pray and ask for God's help. So let's do so now. Let's pray together. Repeat after me, please. Dear Lord, we love you so much. We need you. Every day, every hour, every minute. Give us your peace, which surpasses all understanding. Keep us close to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. He is the Prince of Peace.
He is the Prince of Peace.
Amen. We are designed to need God's help. And when we pray and when we get God's help, God's strength and God's peace, that is when we can be bold. That is when we can be strong.
Morning is taken from Psalm 122, and this can be found on page 622 of the Church Bible. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There the thrones for judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. And the second reading this morning is taken from Philippians, reading at chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, and that can be found on page 1180 of your Bible. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for these readings from his word.
Thank you, Irene. Continue to worship God by singing our next hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour.
I need thee every hour, O Savior, show us.
Let us pray. Lord, we do need you every single hour. We are so thankful, Lord, that you are always with us, always ready to strengthen us, always ready to help our faith grow, always ready to give us new hope, always ready to give us your peace. Help us, Lord, to turn to you in every hour of every day. And in this time of preaching, may your blessing be upon all of us as we ponder your word to us together. And may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the true strength and hope of all who place their trust in you. Amen. So this week we are continuing with our summer series on the topic of prayer. And thus far in this summer series on prayer, a great deal of time has, hopefully rightly, been spent discussing the nature of prayer, our need for prayer, and we've also talked about the ultimate goal of prayer. And as David recently taught us, the ultimate goal of prayer is to have our own lives in all of their nuance and all of their daily routines and all of their bigger dreams and hopes, to have our own lives shaped and conformed to God's own will. For it is when our dreams and our desires, our lives are shaped by God's will, when they are guided by God's will, that is when we can truly pray, "Your will be done." And we can mean it as well. So this week I want to focus on a particular aspect of prayer which can impact each of us in the here and the now. And that is the topic of peace with God through prayer. Peace with God. And as I say these words, I am mindful that one of the most influential books of my earlier Christian years was called Peace with God. And anybody know who wrote a book called Peace with God? Arguably the greatest evangelist next to Jesus and Paul this world's ever seen. Jim, do you know? The Reverend Dr. Billy Graham. It's an amazing book. It's that kind of book that's both simple and incredibly profound. It's always worth a read. So throughout this series so far, we have heard that prayer is not about treating God like some kind of genie who grants our every wish. We've also heard that praying for things in God's name, in the name of Jesus, doesn't mean that God is somehow bound to give in to our demands. No, prayer is about having a living relationship with the living God. And one of the hallmarks of life lived with God through prayer is peace. Right? Now, if we each took a few moments, if I gave each of us an index card and a pencil to write on, I'm sure that each of us could come up with a reasonably good definition of the word peace. What does peace mean to us? Right? But for this time, I'm more interested in what does Scripture have to say to us about the meaning of peace? How does Scripture inform our understanding of this all-important notion of peace? So let's take a look at what Scripture says, shall we? Starting with the first of our two scriptural passages, Psalm 122. And if you have your Bibles handy, I'd encourage each of us to follow along in the texts as we go through them. So first looking at Psalm 122. It's a fairly short psalm, but it's packed full of meaning, of course. And the psalm says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.' Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David." And in verse 6 it starts, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls, security within your towers. For my brothers and sisters and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. So as I heard this read aloud, and when Irene read it aloud before as well, what word jumps out at us? It says it three times in three verses. What word?
Peace.
Ah, very good. Does anybody know the Hebrew word for peace? Shalom. Right? Shalom. When our Jewish friends celebrate Sabbath, sundown on Friday, they wish each other Shabbat Shalom, restful peace. Isn't that a beautiful image? So as we said, in the second part of this psalm, we hear the word Shalom. Pray for the Shalom of Jerusalem. Shalom be within your walls. Shalom be within you. Now, when the Old Testament speaks to us about shalom, about peace, it doesn't refer to simply an absence of violence. It does not refer only to a cessation of conflict. It's much deeper than that. When Scripture speaks of shalom, and by the way, shalom is mentioned more than 200 times in the Old Testament alone. Right? We say it's a pretty important concept if it's mentioned over 200 times. Yes, I think so. Shalom refers to a safety of mind, body, and estate. Now, maybe that strike sounds like it's quite clinical to us. So perhaps instead we can describe it as a sense of completeness, a sense of fullness, of holistic well-being. Have you ever had those moments in your life where everything seems right with the world? Right? That's getting close to what shalom is talking about. Right? Holistic, all-enveloping peace, wholeness, joy, completion. Shalom is a state in which our own wholeness, our own peace, has no choice but to spill over into the lives of others, into the world around us. Shalom is not just for us to keep to ourselves, but it's an overflowing gift of God meant to redeem the world. And this psalm that Irene read for us is a prayer for the shalom of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But again, it's not a self-serving peace only for the inhabitants of the city. Rather, the psalmist, David, prayed for the shalom of Jerusalem, so that Israel's worship of God would spill over into the rest of the world, so that other nations would cast aside false beliefs and walk in the light of Yahweh, blessed be he forever. In the 18th century, there's an Orthodox monk named St. Seraphim of Sarov. That's a great name. And Sarov wrote, "Acquire shalom of the soul, peace of soul, and thousands around you will be saved. Acquire peace of spirit or soul, and thousands around you will be saved." That is the power of God's peace, his shalom. It can transform the world. So like the Old Testament, the New Testament also has a great deal to say about the power of God's peace, especially through prayer. So what again is the Old Testament word for peace? Very good. We have language lessons in Kemnay Kirk, don't we? And the Greek word, anybody know the Greek word for peace? No, we won't ask that. The Greek word for peace is eirene. So who here is named Irene? Ah, yes. You know the root of your name, peaceful one. Peaceful ones. To comment or not to comment. It's an ideal to live into, shall it? No. For all of us, though. So the Greek word is eirene. And that's carries the same weight in Scripture as shalom, right? And so in this morning's passage from his letter to the Philippian Christians, This peace, this shalom, this eirene, once again takes center stage. And looking at Paul's letter to Philippians in chapter 4, you turn there now to your scriptures if you have them handy. We know that Paul wrote this short but powerful letter while he was imprisoned during his travels as a missionary in his efforts to spread the gospel. In the start of today's passage from Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul began by writing, "So then, my brothers and my sisters." So whenever the Bible talks about brothers, plural, the word beneath it means brothers and sisters. "So my brothers and sisters, who I love, whom I long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved." A reminder that when any passage of Scripture starts with a "so then" or a "therefore," what do we have to do? Pay attention to what comes before. If you had a conversation with someone walking on the street and they started by saying, "therefore," I'm like, "therefore what?" That makes no sense. So what comes right before this in chapter 3? In the previous section, Paul reminded the believers in Philippi that their true identity, their true citizenship, is with God in heaven, and that one day they too, and we too, by faith, will share in God's everlasting glory through Jesus Christ. And because of this coming reality, because of God's kingdom coming in power, we can and we must, therefore, stand firm in the Lord. And as those who are awaiting the ultimate redemption of ourselves and all things, we are called to live into this coming reality of God's kingdom by living in ways that reflect the lasting shalom, eirene, peace of God's kingdom in the here and now. And in verses 2 and 3, Paul makes an exhortation for two individuals, Euodia and Syntyche, to let go of their petty disagreements and instead remember that as people bound together by Jesus, we must be quick to forgive, quick to show love, even when we do not see eye to eye. Because the simple truth is that we cannot indulge in squabbles and conflict with each other and also have God's shalom at the same time. Does that make sense? We cannot live as people of conflict and also expect to feel God's shalom in our lives at the same time. It is not possible. So carrying on in verse 4, Paul commands, not asks, he commands his readers and his listeners to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Make your gentleness known to all people. The Lord is near. So it's always interesting to me when Paul says to his listeners to always give thanks, always rejoice. But let's be clear what Paul is not saying in this passage. He is not telling his fellow believers to always have a smile on their faces at all times or to pretend everything is fine when it really isn't. The Christian life is never about living inauthentically. Far from it. I think what Paul is saying, we have to pay attention to his words very carefully here. He doesn't say rejoice always. He says rejoice in the Lord always. This means that whatever we face in life, good, bad, easy, hard, somewhere in between, we must never forget that God the Father loves us. God the Son is praying for us. God the Holy Spirit is interceding for us with sighs too deep for words. We must never forget that whatever we face, there is a deeper and greater reality of God's redemptive work at play in each of our lives. We must never forget that God is with us in every step of life's journey. In verse 5, Paul says, "The Lord is near." Now, some have taken this as a reminder that God's kingdom was coming, that Jesus will return about the end times. Maybe so. But the language is ambiguous here. It might also be talking about the fact that God's presence is always near to us, always close by, giving us comfort, working within our lives, redeeming us in every way. And if the Lord is near, that no matter what we face, any life we lead with God at the center is always a purposeful life, never meaningless. And any life, no matter what it faces, if it's filled with God's shalom, with God's peace, that life can only change the world for the better, come what may. So we said before, it's impossible to indulge in conflict and squabbles and struggles with others and also experience God's peace at the same time. But it's also impossible, carrying on in the passage, to be filled with extreme anxiety and worry and also be filled with God's shalom peace. Now, to be clear, every single one of us has people and things we care about. That is part of being human. Some of us have extreme battles with anxiety and worry and panic from time to time. That is also part of being human. And there's never any shame in getting help for these things. We're not here to say just pray it away. But if you need help, that's okay. It is not a sign of weak faith or weak constitution or weak anything. But God is also here to help us through these difficult seasons. We all have things we care about, right? But there's a world of difference between caring about something and worrying about something. Worrying is a form of fear. And I think Scripture is clear that there's nothing quite like fear to take our focus off of God. So verse 6 begins with the words, "Do not worry," or "do not be anxious." A better translation would, "Do not be consumed with worry." The underlying word has a feeling of fretting back and forth, to and fro. You know that feeling when you can't sleep at night, where you're so worried and consumed with things that your brain's just doing laps while you're laying in bed, and you can't sleep? That's the kind of worrying it's talking about here. The kind of worry that compromises our ability to know God's peace. So instead of dwelling on our anxieties, the rest of the verse gives better guidance on how to handle life's challenges. Paul writes, "Do not worry. Do not be consumed with worry, but in all things, with prayer, with supplication, and with thanksgiving, to make your requests known to God." That's how I felt when I had that audition in an academy, when I was before Presbytery. When I was through that room before the first time preaching in front of all of you wonderful people. Prayer, supplication, and also thanksgiving to make your request known for God. God, I need your help right now. And in verse 7, Paul tells us what results from this approach to anxiety and to worry. With prayer and supplication and thanksgiving to make a request known to God. And then he says, and the what? Ah, the shalom of God. The shalom which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's Paul's lovely poetic way of saying your whole selves will be guarded in Christ Jesus. My friends, I'm convinced that every single human being yearns for wholeness, for well-being. We all want peace, I think. We all want to be whole. We don't always know how to find it, right? We all try so many different things to find this peace, but every human effort to attain shalom will always fall short. There are things we can do to help ourselves, we said, through medical treatments, the help of doctors, through medicines. These are all very important, crucial things we can and should use. But ultimate holistic peace comes only from God. And notice again what Paul writes in verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. True shalom, true eirene, true peace only comes from God. We cannot have it by our own efforts. can't have it by our own efforts, but it's also ours for the asking. So when we pray, let's ask God for the shalom, the eirene, the peace that only He can give. Only then will we be whole. Only then will we know true peace. Let's pray now. Lord, we pray that we need Your peace. We confess to You that our hearts and our minds are often filled with worries, cares, and anxieties. And we come to You, Father, as a source of true joy and true peace. We ask humbly that whatever we are facing in life, whether we are in a season of plenty, a season of want, a season of joy, a season of distress, that You give us the gift of Your shalom, of Your peace. Give us the courage to do what we can to live as whole human beings. But help us always remember that true fulfillment, true joy, true shalom comes only from relationship with You. So today and always, Lord, we pray that You keep us, that You guard us in Jesus Christ. Give us, Lord, Your peace, which surpasses all understanding. And may it remain with us always. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. We cannot have shalom by our own efforts, but God is always ready to help us and to be present with us. And when God gives us His peace, that is when we can truly proclaim, "It is well with my soul." And so we sing together now, "When Peace Like a River."
Sorrows I see, rivers flow.
Now turn our hearts and our minds to prayers for the world. For as we have heard, the shalom of God is given to us to spill over into the world, to bring encouragement and strength to others. And we must be mindful of others when we pray. So let's do so now. Lord, we are gathered here as your people. And we give thanks to you. For we all here in Kemne live in relative safety, peace, and comfort. But in this time, we are mindful that so many parts of your created world struggle to feel and to know the shalom that you offer in Jesus Christ. Today, we pray for all of our fellow human beings in China whose lives have been upended, ruined by the damage caused by the typhoons. We pray that every effort will be made to rebuild lives, to offer comfort and hope in the midst of natural disaster. Today, Lord, we are mindful of social tensions in Kashmir, continued struggles and enmity between India and Pakistan. We pray, Lord, that your peace, the peace which surpasses understanding, would fill the hearts and minds of those politicians and those leaders who are in charge in these countries. We pray that cooler heads would prevail and that peaceful resolution of these tensions would soon occur. We are mindful today, Lord, of continued political struggle and tensions in Hong Kong as well. We pray that demonstrations would be peaceful in nature. We pray that those in government, those who hold power, would have open ears to the voices of the people they mean to govern. And again, Lord, we pray that your shalom, your eirene, your peace, would take charge of that situation. And we pray for peaceful resolution and mutual understanding. Closer to home, we are mindful of the continued reality of Brexit. And wherever we stand on the political spectrum here in the United Kingdom, Lord, you do call us to hold our leaders in prayer. And so this time we do pray for our Prime Minister. We pray that you would give him and his cabinet your guidance, your inspiration, that you would open hearts and minds to your will, to what you, Lord, would see done. And we pray for those negotiation teams from Great Britain and from the European Union, that in some way, some form, that mutual understanding, an agreement, and peace would rule the day. We are mindful, seeing in the news, Lord, the continued scourge of gun violence in the United States of America. We pray that your shalom would overcome the insanity of doing harm to fellow human beings with weapons of destruction. We pray you would give politicians in America the courage to act, to not worry about the next election, but to do in their hearts, in their minds, in their inner beings, to do what is right, to protect the gift of life, Lord, that you have given. Along with all these prayers, we ask today, Lord, that your blessing be upon all of those who work around this world to advance the good news of Jesus Christ. For those who are working as evangelists, those who are working as missionaries, as Bible translators, may your Holy Spirit fall afresh upon their work so that more and more people would have the opportunity to know you as Lord and Savior of their lives. Closer to home, we pray for the Church of Scotland as it continues to wrestle with the call for a radical action plan, as we continue to search for new ways of being faithful to the gospel, new ways of being the church. Do not let us hide within these walls of the kirk. Do not let us check our faith at the door, but help us every day to live as people filled, Lord, with your shalom, filled with your love, filled with Jesus Christ and your Holy Spirit. Help us to be bold and to be strong and to always use our lives to point back to Jesus Christ. Lord, we believe the whole world, all of the cosmos, rests within your power. And we trust, Lord, even when it's hard to see, that you are bringing all things to the great and lasting day of eternal redemption. Give us eyes to see this, ears to hear it, hearts to believe it. Help us to know your shalom always. We pray these things in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. We cannot know true shalom, true peace, apart from Jesus Christ. And this is because Jesus is our light. So in that spirit of faith, we now sing our closing hymn of praise. Christ is our light.
Thank you.
friends, brothers, and sisters, go forth from this place today, and may the shalom of God, the shalom that surpasses understanding, may it guard all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of ourselves in Christ Jesus. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may this blessing rest upon each of us and upon all who we love, this day and forevermore.